Thank you for joining us on our podcast today, Conversation with Industry Icons. And we have with us today, Joe Chicky. Joe, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Honored to be with you.
Joe is an exceptional professional, but when I think about Joe, I think of a really good man. In fact, I would describe him as a gentleman. He's not only wise, experienced, and seasoned, but he has a heart to go with it, and has been a real blessing to our industry for several decades. But Joe, tell us what you're doing today, what your current status is as far as your occupation, and then I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you.
So Eddie, I work for the Sharp Group, and my role is, I'm currently a senior vice president and a senior consultant. So I've been with Sharp almost 10 years now, and work with charities of all shapes and sizes all over the country.
You know, I guess in a sense, we're supposed to be competitors, but my approach is that there's no competition among lighthouses. And if I light someone else's candle, it doesn't diminish my light. So I say that as I see Joe as a peer working in really a good industry and doing an excellent job. So Joe, I want to ask you a couple of questions. When you look back at your career, which you've been, let's say, a couple decades doing this, let's be kind here, a couple decades doing this, what are the most important lessons you've learned?
You know, that's a really great question, Eddie. You know, I'll answer it in this way. I have been extremely fortunate to have been mentored by some of the most amazing, brilliant, successful people in our industry and in the field of philanthropy and the field of fundraising. So I'll just share a couple of thoughts. My first job in gift planning was with St. Jude Hospital, and I was incredibly fortunate to get to interact with Danny Thomas in the latter part of his career. But he was one of those people that had such a passion and such a presence. It was just amazing to watch him when he worked with donors and with people who supported St. Jude. And, you know, it's in such an amazing place. But that was a real aha moment for me early in my career when I said, I want to do more of this kind of stuff. And I think beyond that, there have been many others, of course. But the other one that I would single out, I was fortunate early in my career to work for Bill Sturtevant at the University of Illinois Foundation. And Bill was just a brilliant man and so giving of his time and so willing to share. And he and I worked on many gifts over the years and several capital campaigns. But the one story I'll share with Bill that still resonates with me is he and I had been working together on a significant gift for the university's capital campaign. And I woke up one morning and read the local paper, and this particular family had made an eight-figure gift to another charity, and it was announced in the paper.
Oh, my.
So I picked up the phone, and I called Bill, and I said, you know, I know we did our best, and there are plenty of other opportunities. And he said, you just haven't learned yet, have you? And I said, no, what do I miss? And he said, now that they've had this amazing giving experience, we're going to be next. This is good news. These people are true philanthropists. And he was absolutely right. They made a significant gift to our campaign a couple of years later. So, you know, it's so interesting. You think sometimes you have a sense of what you're doing, and it is complex to a point. And like anything, there are opportunities to learn. And that was a great learning moment for me. And I still share that with clients today where I say, hey, you know, just because they made a big gift to somebody else doesn't mean that they're right off your list.
That's right.
Don't walk away. And you know this well, too. Of course, we do see, you know, it's interesting. When I first got in this business, we talked a lot about the 80-20 rule. 80% of the money came from 20% of the people. And now I think you can argue it might be 90-10 or even in some cases 95-5. It's so top heavy now when we look at some of these philanthropists. And there's so many unique opportunities there. You know, the giving pledge I don't know if you've ever looked closely at that website, but it's really interesting. You know, that started really with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and their decision to give the majority of their wealth away during lifetime or afterlife, and all billionaires. There are now 211 that have joined that club.
Yep.
And I tell clients, I say, hey, if you haven't looked at that, go out. There's a photo. There's information about each one of those people. Just think, each one of those is giving away at least $500 million. If you're not looking to see if that might fit your world, you're missing something big.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I think about people who've been doing this a long time, I know that I made my greatest professional growths after I've made a mistake. I feel like I've learned the most. In fact, Casey, one of my partners, says that we built a great company on all of Eddie's mistakes. There's a lot of truth to that. But what's one professional error or mistake that you made, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, that's another great question. Yeah, I think we all learn our true essence and who we're really all about when we go through difficult times. And certainly this last year, with all of our challenges with COVID, is certainly one of those opportunities for us to really step back and learn what's important. And, you know, the good news here is we have a lot of people that have a sense of urgency and looking at their legacy and thinking about it now, which at least never really happened in my career. I do think there are a lot of people thinking about what their legacy is. So I would say my biggest lesson, and this is what I learned when I first started consulting about 10 years ago, is I did some work for a couple of charities for a year or so, and the leadership was not supportive of what we were doing. You know, I started working with, you know, somebody in the development office or a plain giving person, and, you know, shared some great ideas, and we did some work for a little while, and then just stopped. And, you know, as you understand well, in particular in the plain giving arena, unless you do it consistently for, you know, a number of years, you're just not going to be successful. So it taught me it was critically important that leadership was supportive and understood this. And I think, you know, this is another obvious point, but most of the people that end up in these leadership roles, in particular in some of the larger charitable institutions, don't come from a plain giving background or a legal background necessarily or a business background. They've learned how to raise money and raise money well, but they don't understand the plain giving piece to it. So I think that's probably the biggest lesson for me in the consulting world, is to really have an opportunity to meet with the leadership team and explain how important it is if they're going to be successful. You know, and we see, you know, along those lines, and you get this, you know, a successful organization raising money should be raising, you know, somewhere between 15% and 30% of their total revenue through plain giving.
Yes.
Right? And it's amazing how many of them I meet with, and they're spending, you know, almost all their resources on direct mail or annual giving or special events. And, you know, they just don't understand fundamentally, you know, how important the major and plain giving piece is. And the other reality of that is it takes some time to get there. You know, I was having a call with a client the other day, and he was saying, so what, you know, what should our strategy be? And I said, you know, we'll get into all the details. I said, I want you to hear three things. If you do these three things, then you'll be successful. You carry your passion every day for what you do, the mission that you believe in. Your persistence in your in your program, you're constantly asking people for money at the right time in the right way, thinking about their legacy, obviously. And then, and thirdly, maybe this is the most important, you're patient.
Yes.
It just takes, it's not going to happen overnight. These significant gifts. And I'll share one final thought. Robert Sharp Sr., who started our firm, I had a chance, of course, to hear him teach early in my career. And one of the things he said was, when people are thinking about their legacy, who do they think about? They think about their family. It's a spouse, it's children, it's grandchildren. And maybe they elevate a charity to family status, and they include that family in their legacy. And that is a huge deal. And if we don't treat these people like they're a member of our family that name us in their estate, then we're going to lose them.
So,
and it's a privilege and an honor for them to do that. But, you know, we're now a member of their family, And if we treat them the right way, then we'll all benefit.
Brilliant, brilliant insight, Joe. Well, we've been privileged today to be joined by Joe Chickie. And Joe's been doing this for a number of decades at a high level. And today he really shared with us some great insights and wisdom. And Joe, I can't thank you enough, but I really do appreciate you taking the time to share your insights.
My pleasure. Great to be with you and visit today, Eddie.
Thank you, Joe. And everybody, thank you for joining us on our podcast, Conversation with Industry Icons. Today, it was Joe Chickie. Thanks for joining us.